Hello and welcome to the Private Labeler Show, where we are dedicated to helping you take your Amazon business to the next level. Now, here is your host, Nick Landowski.
Woo! Wow! What's up, Internet? How's it going? Let's do this. Welcome to episode number 19 of the Private Labeler Show. We're helping 1,000 stunningly amazing people start an online business in 2016. So thank you for listening wherever you are. Thanks for tuning into the podcast and giving me a few minutes of your day. I really appreciate that. You know, maybe you're listening in the backseat of a cramped car, or I don't know, maybe you're on a crowded bus. Or, I don't know, maybe you're on an elliptical at the gym doing some cardio. So wherever you are, thanks for tuning in. I appreciate it. Now, in this episode, we're going to do a little Q&A. So we're going to do a little Q&A answering some listener questions. So I have about three or four questions that I'm going to get to in just a minute or two here. And I'm going to give you my responses to their questions. So, before I jump into that, though, man, is it really cold here? I don't know what the heck is going on, but past few weeks, I was kind of excited that spring was actually here a little early, but I guess not. It's freaking cold here. So I wish, this little thing called global warming, whether it's true or not, I don't know. Whatever you believe, I don't know. You're entitled to that. I just wish it would get here. I need a little global warming right now. So it's certainly a little chilly. So without further ado, I want to talk about some Amazon news. So it's been a while since I've kind of talked about some cool stuff going on in the world of Amazon. And actually, I just got an email from Amazon this morning, and it talked about their Prime program. They're enhancing it. So they're expanding their Prime program with one-day delivery to even more metro areas. So I got the email saying that they were in my metro area this morning, which was awesome. So now in the city that I live in, I can get same day delivery. So that's pretty awesome. So now they have 27 total metro areas in the country that get one day, same day delivery, which I thought is pretty awesome. Now they also expanded their Prime Now function or service that is that 1 to 2 hour delivery that they do. So that is expanded as well. So why am I telling you this? Well, first and foremost, I just like to stay current on what Amazon's doing, but Walmart should be very afraid. And that's very good news for Amazon customers, obviously, but Amazon sellers, in my opinion, because the more that Amazon expands its services and enhances its services, the wider the net that it's going to cast on bringing even more people to Amazon.com to buy your private label products. So I thought that was pretty cool. Super excited to hear about that. I want to move on to an iTunes review. So as you guys know, past few podcasts have been reading a few iTunes reviews. If you haven't left a review, please do so now. So if you're an iTunes person, please jump onto iTunes and leave a review for the podcast, and I will try to get around to reading that review on a future podcast episode. So this current review, or this latest review, comes in from Matt, and Matt says, A-plus info for getting started. And he says, thoughts of private labeling products have been juggling around in my head for the past year or so. I know it's a long time, but I really had no idea where to start or how to get started, and I didn't have the capital to pay for the expensive courses I've heard about. So about a month ago, I stumbled across this podcast, and I'm glad I did. It's been the sign I needed to get started with Amazon FBA. It's been very helpful for me because I know where and how to get started. I highly recommend this podcast to anyone who is new to FBA like myself. Keep up the good work, Nick, and love the intro. So thanks, Matt. I really appreciate it, and appreciate you taking the time to drop in a awesome review through iTunes. So super, super awesome of you to do that. And like I said, for the rest of you guys out there, if you're on iTunes, please do that. It's very, very helpful for me. Now, if you haven't yet subscribed to iTunes, if you're an iTunes person, I know I keep talking about that, but also jump to privatelabelershow.com/FB. So if you go to privatelabelershow.com/FB, that'll take you to our Facebook mastermind group. So if you're already a member, awesome. You're cool. If not, jump there and join the Facebook mastermind group. So also, if you go to privatelabelershow.com, you can click the subscribe button, and I'll simply just notify you anytime I have new content, new videos, or new podcasts to share with you. So please subscribe as well. Okay, so let's jump into it. I got a couple of questions here that I'm going to read and give you my responses and answers to. So hopefully you will find some of these responses helpful and useful. Now, the first question has to do with product variations and the whole parent-child thing, trying to make sense of that. So essentially, they want to understand it a little bit better, and the listener wants to know kind of how is this done, and basically, what are the benefits of having variations? So if you're selling a particular product, and let's say down the line, you're like, all right, I want to add additional colors to this because the product is doing well and I want to add different colors, or maybe I want to add different sizes. You know, one idea might be like a t-shirt as an example. You don't just sell the single t-shirt, you sell it with all the different variations. It's got small, medium, large, extra large. It's got, you know, five different color options, so on and so forth. Those are just simply variations, okay? So you can add variations to your Amazon listings to offer the customer more variety. Now, basically, Amazon breaks it down as a parent-child relationship. Now, if you actually go to, in your Seller Central account, if you type in variations, as an example, in like the help menu, you'll see that they actually have a ton of documents and guides on this and videos kind of breaking it down to explain things. So if you're looking for further information outside of this answer, please do that. Some of the guides, just to be honest, kind of suck, but they do have a couple of videos that show you visually and graphically how everything is laid out and, you know, why it's cool. But here's my interpretations of everything. They have described it as a parent-child relationship. The parent, just so you're aware, isn't something that the customer can buy. It's the parent product isn't something that people can actively buy. All it's there to do is, probably just for system reasons, just to hold those child variations together underneath it, okay? So the parent is there in your inventory menu. You can see it after you created it, and it has maybe just like a SKU and an ASIN, I believe, and kind of like, that's really it. I mean, it's just a general listing, but the customer can't buy that item. It's not for sale or anything like that. And underneath it, you'll see a menu that has the different variations that you created. Now, those variations are active listings, okay? They have, you know, FNSKUs, UPCs, the whole nine yards. They're the real deal. They're the actual listings. So let's say I had, you know, a parent and I had maybe three child listings underneath it. Well, I'd be able to see the parent and those three child listings underneath. And again, those child listings are for sale, okay? So let's just say I created a variation of my product and I'm going to offer it in three different colors. Well, the child listings, again, will be the ones that are for sale, not the parent. So the child listings get grouped together, and when the customer logs onto any one of those child listings, if they were to search it or find it through Amazon.com, they would be able to see your main, you know, child listing for whatever it is that they're searching for. Let's say it's the black one that they found. But on that page somewhere, they'll be able to see that you offer that product in a variation, meaning a different color as an example, or a different size as an example. So it just groups everything together so that it makes things easier for the customer. And Amazon just calls it from their end to us a parent-child relationship. Now, how is this done? Well, when you originally, let's say when you originally set up your product in Seller Central, when you're adding a product to the catalog, you'll have an option, or you'll see an option there to create the variations that you think you're going to want to have there. So even if you're just starting with a single product and it's, let's just say, black, and you think maybe down the line that you want to add additional colors if it goes well, you can set that up kind of in advance to when you're adding that product to allow that listing to have variations on it. And it'll have a little menu where you can kind of click what type of variations you're going to want to have on that particular listing or product. So that's one way. Just when you initially create it, you can set the variations kind of up, initially. But let's just say you have a product that you're selling in black right now and it's doing well, and you decide, you know what, I want to add like three colors to this because it's doing really well and I want to give the customer more variety and more options. What's another way of doing that? Well, another way of doing that is to, in your Seller Central account, if you go, I don't know the exact what you click on here or there, but you can essentially download what they call a flat file, okay? So you're going to download a flat file, and it's just like an Excel spreadsheet, and it's going to be specifically set up for your category that you're selling in, and essentially it's just like this giant spreadsheet where they give you these different tabs on it, and it kind of walks you through how to set up this spreadsheet. And after you fill out the data in this spreadsheet or this flat file according to the guidelines that they give you, you're then going to upload that flat file in Seller Central in the inventory screens, and Amazon essentially is then going to create those variations and the parent-child relationship stuff that you wanted. Okay, so you upload the file, and a few minutes later, you'll be able to see in your inventory screen in Seller Central, the parent-child relationships will be created. It'll show the parent, and it'll give you a drop-down menu. It'll show here's the child relationships that you created. Boom, boom, boom. And you go from there. So what I would advise you to do if you're going to do that is to actually just call Seller Central. Talk to like a feed specialist. So don't talk to the initial person that you get on the phone, like the gateway person. Don't have them help you with this because it's not going to be good. Ask for a feed specialist and just say you want to set up a variation on your listing. And they'll get you to a feed specialist. And they'll literally walk you through this, like from point A to point Z, essentially, all the steps in between on how to download this file, what fields to fill out, how to do that. And they'll be with you on the other end as you upload the file if you so choose, okay, if you've never done it before. So essentially two ways when you're initially creating your product, it's a little bit simpler. But if you have an existing product, again, that you want to add different size or color options or whatever, you will just need to do it through a flat file and just upload that spreadsheet. So hopefully that's helpful. Now, the other thing that the listener wanted to know was, well, what are some of the benefits to doing this? Well, first and foremost, it's going to give the customer more options, okay? They're going to see these variations on your listing, and it's going to give them more variety and more options, which is going to lead to higher conversions, right? And it just makes your listing look cooler if the customer sees that you offer it in multiple different colors or multiple different sizes or different variations depending, okay? So it's going to, in my opinion, allow you to convert more customers, because let's just say the customer liked your product, but they're not really crazy about the color that they initially see, but then they see, they offer it in pink. Oh, that's perfect because that's their favorite color. So you're going to convert more customers. So your conversion rate and your sales should go up because of this, okay? In most cases, obviously, not just across the board. But that to me is cool. And the other thing that's really cool is that they share reviews. So as an example, if I had a product, let's say that I had a product that had 200 reviews, and I decide to add, four more colors to it, and I send the four colors into Amazon, and I create my parent-child relationship stuff, and I set the listings up right, however I want them to be. And on top of that, I'm sending in this product that, it's a new listing technically, but it's being combined underneath the parent, and it's going to share those reviews then. So now, even though it's technically a new item, it'll also have 200 reviews. So that's pretty cool. So all those reviews are going to sync across the board, so that anytime you get reviews on any of those listings, it's just going to use those reviews as a collective whole. So you got to think of it as, okay, yes, I'm sending in new colors or new sizes. You're not starting from zero. You don't have to start from ground zero to build up those listings. They're essentially just going to have all those reviews synced and transferred across the board. And that's going to help with your conversion rate, so that when your customer sees, 200 reviews, they're awesome reviews. They don't know that they all came from you know, the first one that you had, the black one, it just synced all the way across the board. So you're gonna convert a lot better, in my opinion. Now, on top of that, you can use different keywords across the child listings. So you can try different back-end keywords within those listings as well to kind of cast a bigger net out into trying, you know, just different types of things. You don't want to necessarily scramble the listings. You kind of want to use a uniform listing essentially for all of your parent-child or your child variations. You know, you might just put something different in the title, like this one's black or this one's green or this one's pink. But other than that, you can experiment a little bit with your back-end search keyword fields and try, you know, a little bit type of a different type of keywords in there to maybe expand a little bit and get maybe some new traffic or some different type of traffic. So there are tons of benefits to it. In fact, I've been dealing with this right now as we speak, and I got on a future episode, I'm going to kind of explain maybe this in a little bit more detail about what I've been kind of personally noticing with it. But in my opinion, yeah, it's awesome. Variations are great, and it gives a customer more choice, which is awesome. And you should be able to sell more product by offering the color options that your customers want, because a lot of times you have to think, you know, everybody's got different, you know, choices or opinions about their, you know, different colors that they like. And if you can offer that customer, you know, the whole rainbow, if you will, and giving them variety, then that's huge. So hopefully that answers your question to some degree. Now, the next question that I have is in regards to keywords. So the question is, do you have any advice on creating or building upon current keywords for your products? So yes. First and foremost, what you can do, let's say you launch your product and you do all your keyword stuff, and then as you evolve and adapt and update your listings and you know your back end, you can enhance your keywords and try different keywords. So recently, maybe the past, I don't know, month or two, Amazon expanded the back end for like how many keywords you can input in there. So they used to just have very limited fields, and I forget how many you could put in there, but now it's expanded that you can have tons of different keywords for your back end setup. To the point where, you know, I actually was talking to sellers and they didn't even know that this expanded. So they're going to go back into their Seller Central accounts and look at their listings and look at the back end keywords and enhance and update those, because you can put a lot of them in there now. But one thing that you can do is if you're running pay-per-click, you can use that as data. Okay. So I just got done, as an example, I just got done the other day, taking a really good deep dive into pay-per-click, into the reports that you get from it. And I was dissecting all of the different keywords that are good and some of the ones that were actually, you know, hurting me that I had in my listing and setting up in the back end, and really just dissected them. So you can find a lot of new keywords just by evaluating the customer search term report. So as customers are typing in all these different search terms to click and find your product, you may see and notice patterns of new search terms that you're like, wow, I didn't even know that, you know, somebody would search using that. And that makes sense, but you didn't think of it at first. So utilize your pay-per-click data to evaluate the customer search terms and basically dissect that. And over time, as you establish that product through pay-per-click, you'll have just this, you'll have more data to play with. Now, you can also see maybe what keywords, again, are hurting you. So I noticed as of recent, my pay-per-click costs were going crazy. And I, prior to that, was adding in a bunch of new keywords to my back end, because I got all these field or these options to play with now. They expanded the fields greatly. So I tried a few different new keywords, and I noticed that my conversion rate on my page was dipping dramatically, and my ACOS and my pay-per-click costs were going crazy. So I was kind of freaking out. And what I determined was that some of these new keywords that I piped into the back end weren't really serving me very well. It was bringing me all this new traffic, but the traffic wasn't converting. It was horrible. So I kind of filtered it out a little bit, actually took some of these keywords out of the back end, and kind of, you know, understood that it was because of, you know, what I did a few weeks prior that was causing all these problems. So if you have these keywords that are converting really well for you that you notice, you want to make sure that you have these keywords in your actual title as well. So if you have rockstar keywords, better make sure that they're in your title because your title is going to be a huge driver in your keyword traffic, okay? So just always look at your title and make sure that it's optimized. And over time, you should be always refining your listing and your title keywords. So other things that you can do to build upon your current keyword selection is just to use some of the free tools. Now, I mentioned free tools such as like Google Planner or Merchant Words. Those are like the free options available that will give you keyword ideas. Now, assuming you've already used those, but one thing that you can do to take it even further is to use a paid option through, I think it's Keyword Inspector. I'll put that in the show notes. It's on my resources page. That's what I use through Keyword Inspector. Again, I hope I'm calling it the right name. I think I am. You can find, let's say you can take your top competitors and take their ASINs and drop them into Keyword Inspector, and it'll spit out a spreadsheet of a whole bunch of different keywords. It'll strip out all these different keywords that they're using out of their listing and all that good stuff. And it'll give you all this new data, and you can kind of evaluate the data that it gives you and go, oh, wow, there's like three or four keywords that are rockstar that I'm not using in my listing at all, or in my back-end search terms at all, or in my pay-per-click campaigns at all. So those are obviously the free options you have with Google and Merchant Words, or the paid option would be just to utilize Keyword Inspector to hopefully maybe dig up a handful of rockstar keywords that you weren't using before that you can, like I said, integrate into your listing or campaigns. So hopefully that answers your question. But first and foremost, yeah, just dig into those PPC reports because the data in there is just amazing. All right, so now we have a question about how to revive failing products. So this in itself really could be an hour-long conversation, but for time purposes, I'll kind of break this down into some of my thoughts or ideas. Let's say you launch a product and it's failing now. There could be a lot of different reasons why. I mean, there could be a million different reasons. First and foremost, you need to evaluate why it's failing and go through a simple checklist. So like the first things first, was it ever selling? Did it ever do well for you? Or all of a sudden, is it not selling out of the blue, even though you were crushing it before? You have to kind of evaluate and figure out what happened, okay? Did a whole bunch of new competition just come in and push you out? Or like I said, did it just not take off before? Like, has it always been kind of a dud? So first things first though, you really just want to check though and see, is your listing good? Do you have the adequate images? Are your images on par or better than the top competitors, okay? Is your title optimized? Does your title have the correct keywords in it? Does your listing sell? Is it enticing the customer to buy? Does it give features and benefits? Like, look at your description, your bullet points, things like that. If you determine that, yeah, you have great pictures, you have a great listing, and you're very proud of it, and you know it's, you know, on point, then maybe, just maybe, you are selling a product that is not in demand, or there's just not enough demand for all the sellers that are selling it. So try to evaluate that. Like, are there any sellers making money from it right now? Or what are the BSRs of the top sellers? So you might just be like, is your item seasonal? So that's important too. Did you maybe just fail to realize that your item's just not going to sell during certain times of the year? You have to just kind of ask yourself those things. If it isn't a seasonal item and it's a go item all year round, again, just evaluate the landscape. What happened? Now, did you get maybe a lot of negative reviews? So did you recently get a lot of 1 and 2 star reviews that customers, when they log onto your page, they're seeing front and center, you know, boom. And that's scaring them away and that's affecting your conversion rate. So if that's the case, you have to address that. You just need, obviously, you know, some really good reviews to push those down. So that might be one of the things you can look at. However, though, maybe your listing is just riddled with a lot of 1 and 2 star reviews and your star rating is just really low. So maybe it started out high and then over time, it's maybe down to a 4 star review or lower. And that's just affecting your conversion rate. So take a look at your Seller Central account and take a look at your conversion rates. Is it dipping dramatically? Like, do you have a lot of traffic still going to the page, but people are just opting not to buy your product because something on it is scaring them away? So you should be able to look at all the traffic over time in Seller Central that was going to that listing, and you can see how many, you know, people visited your page and the conversion rate. So if you notice some correlation that you're still getting traffic, but your conversion rates are just dipping, then it could be because, again, you have some reviews that are just hurting you. Now, if you have maybe just have a bad product. I mean, maybe doesn't matter how good your listing is. Maybe the product is just getting a lot of 1 and 2 star reviews, and you know the product itself just isn't performing, and customers see that. So that could be something that you want to consider now, or consider looking at and evaluating. Now, I do see sometimes with people, they're selling products and they might be doing well, and all of a sudden they just get smashed with tons of 1 and 2 star reviews because their product just isn't quality. And a lot of times what these people will do is they'll just liquidate the product out because the product, no matter what they do, isn't going to sell well going forward because the reviews, the market has spoken. And they determine that your product isn't good and the competitors might have a better quality product. So kind of evaluate that. Without knowing more detail, I'm just randomly picking some points here. Another thing you can look at too is your keywords. So are you just swinging and missing on the appropriate keywords? Are there keywords out there that you could be inputting into your title or into your pay-per-click campaigns or into your back-end search terms that you're just not seeing right now? And maybe you're looking at your competitors and they're just crushing it. Maybe they have a couple of keywords that are just, you know, really driving a lot of great traffic to their listings and then through their PPC campaigns. So the next question for you is, are you even running pay-per-click? So it could be because you're just not running enough traffic to it and you don't have enough organic traffic hitting it. So you should be running pay-per-click, at least on an auto campaign, to deliver you traffic. So those are just a whole bunch of different ideas or things that you'd have to evaluate. And without knowing more detail, that's kind of really the best answers I can kind of give. But you just need to dissect and figure out where things started to go wrong and why, and you know, go through that checklist. Look at the images, look at the listing, look at the, you know, update your search term keywords. Did something go haywire? Does something need to change? So hopefully that's helpful. And like I said, at the end of the day, the market always wins. Now, there are very few products out there that can survive a ton of really, really bad reviews. Like, I'll see products that, you know, as soon as they have maybe between, I don't know, 3.5, like 0 and 3.5 stars in review, like that product, it still might sell and people still might buy it, but it's really going to affect the conversion rates to the point where if competitors are offering a superior or a better quality product, they're going to rise to the top. So you just want to always make sure that you're offering high quality products. And if the product isn't high quality, can you fix it? Maybe it's something that you go back and talk to your supplier and say, hey, this is always breaking on my product and customers are leaving me bad reviews because of it. Can I address that? Can we make this stronger on this next batch and address it? So you have to kind of play detective and figure that out. So hopefully that's informative. I know that's a very broad stroke, but without knowing more detail, that's really the best answer I can give you right now. So hopefully that's sufficient for you. So the last question here has to do with, let me just try to describe this here. It's kind of a long question, and I think it's important though, but I'll kind of read it. So it says, I have a product that I'm interested in starting, and it says there's definite demand. However, it's dominated by one supplier. Now, this company has such pull that the product is referred to by their brand name for the last 20 years or so. I found suppliers who can supply it at good competitive rates. However, I'm having difficulty with branding it in a way that does not use the current manufacturer's name. I have seen 3 other manufacturers try to private label it on Alibaba and flop with name and packaging as it came across cheap and low grade. Can you maybe shed some light on how to process through an issue like mine? So I understand exactly what you're saying. Now, first things first, before I really go any further, you want to make sure that you did a like a legal check, like your patent and trademark check and all that kind of stuff. That's really important. Does that big brand, do they own some sort of legalities to this product? That's something I would check first and foremost. There might be something specific on there or a patent or, you know, something that, you know, you don't want to infringe upon. So I would just advise you to look into that first. If you've already done that and you determine it's not an issue, okay, here we go. So are there any other sellers making money with this product currently at all? Or is virtually all of the sales being taken by that one main giant company? So if that's the case, without knowing more details, I might just run for the hills on this one. So that might be something too hard to overcome. Now, if you decide that there are a few other sellers kind of making some money and you'd like to maybe jump in there a little bit and take some of that pie, then great. Here's what we can do. Figure out what that main seller isn't doing, like that main juggernaut product that you talk about that's getting the lion's share of the sales. Like, look at the reviews. Take a look and see, is there something that that product, even though it's getting a ton of the sales, is there something that they are not addressing, that they're not even noticing through the negative reviews, the 1- and 2-star reviews? Take a look at that. Could you possibly use that data or information to create a slightly superior product and then market that particular feature or fix to those customers or to the new customers? So that'd be something I'd be interested in looking at. If there aren't really any issues with their product and it's doing well overall and it's just crushing it, well, you know, do they have good images? Do they have a good listing? Or are they just slapping up any listing out there and their name itself is really just driving it? So you kind of have to answer that. Like, could you just make your listing a little bit better? Could you improve upon that initial product idea just a little bit more and market that and see where you kind of go with it? Now, if that's the case, what I might do then, if I'm not stepping on any legal issues here with infringements of patents or anything like that, or trademark or copyright or whatever, one thing I would try to do then is find a supplier that can make a slightly better product that improves upon it, and then do a small batch, like a test batch. So maybe just order like the smallest quantity that you can, I don't know, maybe 100 units or something like that, and put a listing out there and, you know, really market the heck out of why that product is better than the big brand product, okay? And see what happens. Just like see if it takes, if you could focus in on that for your marketing efforts. So that'd be something I would do. And in the worst case scenario, it doesn't sell, or just the sales aren't, you know, enough to satisfy you, but you're not out that much money if it doesn't take off like you wanted it to. So another thing that you can do though is ask yourself, is that product like the big time product? Like, are there other products that company is selling? Like, clicking on their storefront, like basically when you click on their storefront, you'll be able to see all the other stuff that they sell. Is there anything else that's related to that product that you see them selling as well that maybe you could jump onto and just get ideas from? So hopefully, you know, I don't want you to tell you not to sell this main product, but I'm just trying to offer you another idea that maybe there might be something related to it that you could try to sell as well. Again, without knowing the actual product, it's kind of hard for me to really give you good advice on this, but I like to always look at the storefronts of these big brands just to see what else they're selling. And maybe I can find some hidden gems based off of that. Or maybe like a complementary type of products that would complement that big main product that they're selling. Is there something relatable that customers would also purchase that, you know, like an accessory or something like that? They could accessorize that main product. So that might be something I'd be interested in looking at as well. But yeah, other than that, you just have to look at, you said there's the three manufacturers that tried and they failed. Well, you know, why did they fail? Like, can you play a little detective on there? Is there specific, you said it is because maybe their marketing came across as cheap. Well, how do you come across as premium or better? Now, what I do know is that if you come across in your marketing efforts as a superior or premium product, you can differentiate through price. So maybe they're selling at a value price. Could you look into selling that product for a much higher price, but go through price perception as a marketing strategy? So people see that main product, but then they see that, you know, yours is priced higher. they might perceive it to be even better quality. Come across it with such thing as like a premium name, like a premium, put, you know, using the word premium or high quality or whatever it may be. And those customers may opt for your product instead of the big brand's product if they value higher quality, which, you know, a lot of customers will value higher quality. So hopefully those are a few ideas for you there. Again, without knowing all the exact details, that's, you know, really just some insight I can give you. If you need further assistance on that, just reach out to me and maybe I can kind of walk you through some of that. But just be advised though that there may be some legal things, that legal landmines that you don't want to step on with this, and maybe that's why some of these other competitors have failed. So that about does it for the questions, guys. I know it's a little long-winded, but you know, I did the best of my ability to try to answer some of these questions for you. And if you guys have any future questions going forward, you can always ask them in the private Facebook group. So again, privatelabelershow.com/FB. Get in that group, post a question. If you're not a member, please subscribe, and we'll have you join in the conversation in the community. So that's going to do it for this episode, and I look forward to talking to you guys in the next episode. Thanks. Hey, thanks for listening to the very end. I really appreciate it. Now, for being such a loyal listener of the show, we are offering you an exclusive discount on Jungle Scout for the Private Labeler Show community. Simply go to junglescout.com/PLS to take advantage today, or simply use the Jungle Scout link on my resources page on privatelabelershow.com. So take advantage of the savings and start finding the perfect product to sell today. Thanks.